Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
Awful. Awful. Should have been, could have been, not good, but... We're mere 4 months away from it being warm in here. Just in time for next winter. I'm Dan Nalen, and this is Soundwaves from the Underground, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug, an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States, distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action, sports, and subculture. On this episode, we'll be talking about the travails of the messenger services here in Salt Lake City. We'll talk to Yelp Utah's Jeffrey Stedman about specialty cocktails all over town, and we'll talk about custom bicycle company Loki Cyclies. Anybody who has spent any daytime in downtown Salt Lake City has probably noticed bicycle messengers working downtown, jetting in and out of traffic with bike loads of papers, moving from law firm to law firm. The Matheson Courthouse in downtown Salt Lake recently switched to a paperless system to cut down on the cost of paper and to become more eco-friendly. Probably a good idea, except in the process, they've eliminated a big chunk of the economy, those bike messenger services that normally would deliver those documents around the city from firms and businesses to the courthouse. Slug writer Carl Atchison chatted with Jason Copierre of LMI, that's Legal Messenger Incorporated, about the transition and its effect on the local messenger business.
How long have you been in the bicycle messenger business?
LMI as a company has been doing this 1993, so 20 years now. I personally started as a bike messenger in 1997.
If you could just explain to the listeners what e-filing is.
Federal courts have done it for the last few years, and it's basically eliminating paper. In the past, you know, you'd have a hard copy with ink signatures on it to be filed at the courts, and you know, they had a pretty big area where they obviously had to keep these files. Required ink signatures of everyone that was involved with a document to sign these before they could be filed. So it was really, you know, kind of labor-intensive, resource-intensive way of doing things. You know, it employed bike messengers. You know, it was definitely the bread and butter of what we did for a long time. But I think, you know, as you saw it happen in other cities around the country, once they started transitioning to it and working the kinks out, you know, it was a matter of time before they did it here. And they officially implemented it April 1st here.
Has anything similar to e-filing come along in the past?
Yeah, like I said, the federal courts did it a few years back. You know, that's really it. The state courts is huge. I mean, that's a lot higher volume. You know, we've seen the effects of it kind of tapering in over the last few months. People have switched to the e-filing, and I think over the last month and a half too, we've kind of seen what it will be like, you know, from here on out,
because most
by that time, yeah, I had kind of switched over to it. So, you know, at one point it was our bread and butter for sure. We had specific guys just waiting in line over there, you know, to get stuff filed. I mean, sometimes two at a time specifically just to do that, just to get the stuff through the lines. And you know, now the juvenile court and the probate court is still doing paper filings. You know, we might make a trip there a dozen times a day or so, but it's nowhere near what we were doing back there. So
I had read somewhere online that on July 1st that the probate cases are going to go to e-filing.
I think
as well.
It will.
Really?
Yeah, I think that July 1st is the date for that. So, you know, not such a small amount of what we do, actually. I mean, like I
said, it's not too big of an effect on the business. Really.
Less than a dozen times a day.
Gotcha.
We do that, yeah. So.
Okay. Did e-filing have any sort of effect on the messenger business before it was officially in effect?
It did, just because, like I said, people were already starting to switch over to it. The availability to file, e-file, has been around for a while. It's just been a matter of people getting on board with it. You had some of the smaller firms a little more reluctant to sign up for it, and you know, to this day, I mean, there's people that still wish they could do it the old way, you know, print off of something, call us, or you know, walk it over themselves. To them, that's easier than going through, you know, logging in, going through the server and all that stuff.
So what would you say e-filing is doing to the messenger business now that it's been in effect?
It's definitely taken one chunk of our business away. You know, there's always going to be messenger. There's always going to be delivery in an urban area. It was, you know, you've kind of seen cutbacks from the fax machine. Email, you know, is another kind of a cutback. The availability of high speed, you know, DSL and stuff like that, transferring bigger files over email was another cutback. And then, you know, e-filing, you've seen it. Utah is kind of one of the last states to get with it and do it. I mean, you've seen it in other states where they've gone, you know, say like another mid-sized place like Charlotte, you know, that had maybe 14 bike messengers. I now know there's three there now. I know one of the guys there working in Charlotte right now. And it's, you know, that's kind of just from e-filing, because you do have a ripple effect with it in that, you know, like I said earlier, your paper filing has ink signatures, and a lot of times you were gathering those signatures at various places before you would even go file it. And so you may have 4, 5, 6 stops and then the filing itself. So it's, you know, it's cut back on that. But I mean, like I said, there will always be a need to move things in an urban area. Yeah, you kind of liken it to FedEx, UPS, whatnot like that, but we're just doing it on a local scale. We're competitive with rates with, you know, like a FedEx overnight, but we're doing it same day. Better customer service because our guys are radio dispatched. I mean, I don't know if you've ever tried to change a delivery via FedEx, you know, if you have like a new destination for it. I mean, you get online and it's, yeah, you're dealing with 15 minutes or so of confirmation and changing that, whereas with a bike messenger, you call the company and it's radio dispatched, and you know, our guys can wait places, our guys can, you know, chase people down to their home if they're at lunch or whatever, and you know, it's a lot more flexible. So there'll always be a need for that. Obviously, we have cut our staff kind of slowly over the last few months for the need of what's needed, and I think right now we're kind of seeing how it's going to be from here on out. We're fully staffed. We're keeping our guys busy at this point. We're just a little leaner than we were last year around this time.
Do you think that maybe you'll try new avenues delivering different things? Like how Graham works at Jimmy John's,
yeah,
doing food and whatnot. Do you, maybe with the LMI perhaps expand?
It's funny because, yeah, I was in New York City in 2005, and I'd never heard of Jimmy John's back then. And some messengers I was hanging out with were talking about how they kind of supplemented their income by working at Jimmy John's at night, which I'd never heard of. You know, it's, we didn't have one here yet. And so at that time, there were really no food delivery guys in downtown Salt Lake. I think Jason's Deli was one of the first to kind of do it. But I mean, at that time, it was just bike messengers, right? And we did then, we still do, for some of our clients, we will pick up their lunch and pick up food and stuff at, you know, obviously restaurants of their request. And that's always something we've done to kind of give the full package to our clients. It's something we've never turned down, and it's something that we are obviously, it's going to be a part of our business more so in the future. You look nowadays and there's more Jimmy John's and Jason's Deli and whatnot food guys than bike messengers out there. And that's just the way it is. And it's, you know, that's becoming popular. I think it's great.
Anything else you'd like to say about e-filing? Something I didn't touch on or?
No, I mean, it's, you know, it's just the way of the future. It's a good thing, I think. I think it was kind of printing off, you know, huge stacks of paper and having to warehouse that, and you know, it's just an inefficient use of taxpayer money, I think, with the court system. And it's, you know, we're getting with the times. We'll survive the gravy days of, like I said, I mean, having two guys standing in line over there, you know, doing 200 filings a day are gone, but you know, bike messengers will adapt.
To find out more on LMI and their services, visit them online at legalmessengerinc.com. Dark Seas is a 5-piece psychedelic rock band originally from Salt Lake City, but they recently made the move to Los Angeles. The band formed in late 2010 originally as a Joy Division cover band, wisely transitioning into something else after an impromptu gig at Kilby Court a few months later. In November 2011, they released their self-titled EP and spent the next year playing all over the state while going through myriad lineup changes. This year, the band released their follow-up album finally. The album is called This Is Love. And since then, they have relocated to LA, but they're still kicking off some tunes around here. We're going to play a song called It's All Right from that new album, This Is Love. To find out more about the band, visit them online at facebook.com/darkseas. Once again, we welcome in Yelp Utah's Jeffrey Stedman to talk about food news around the Salt Lake Valley and beyond. Welcome, Jeffrey.
Hi.
Thanks again for coming in. Yeah. And we're delving into a subject matter near and dear to my heart as a whiskey drinker and just a general garbage can when it comes to alcohol of all sorts. But we're going to hit up the Yelp users out there to let us know where the best specialty cocktails are around the Salt Lake Valley and beyond, perhaps.
No, just Salt Lake Valley.
Just Salt Lake Valley.
We're not going to talk any cocktails in Utah.
We don't want anyone driving after their specialty cocktails anyway.
Absolutely.
So stick close to home. Take public transit, people.
You got it.
So what do the Yelpers love out there about the specialty cocktails in town?
Well, let me tell you what the Yelpers love. This is a subject near and dear to your heart.
Yes.
So let's talk first about Bar X. I don't think that's any surprise that we're going to talk about Bar X. 4 out of 5 stars, 62 reviews. They're at 155 East, 200 South. Sexy space. I mean, I really like it. It's not... We're going to talk in just a little bit about the Red Door, which may be, like, sexy is their thing.
Right.
But I kind of like the Bar X's space. It's very... you know, they have that backlit sort of behind the bar.
Love
and it's
that.
Dim lighting.
Unbelievable transformation from the old man beer days when it was either Coors or Coors Light. What do you want?
Yeah, when it was full of people who had made bad decisions with their life.
That's right.
You know what? They took a lot of grief from some of the old, like, passionate Bar X people for turning it into what I think, you know, I think it gets kind of a reputation as a hipster spot, and maybe deservedly
right? For being successful, that's what you get. You catch shit.
Yeah. So, but it's a cool space. They've done a great job with it. Paul Rose W. says, exactly what a bar should be. Highly recommend the Moscow Mule and Pim's Cup. P.S. This is a side note. This is not what Paula said. This is minor. I've seen people write it as Pimp's Cup. It is not a Pimp's Cup. It is a Pim's, P-I-M-M, apostrophe S.
Pim's is a liquor that you put in the drink, people.
Right.
And they're delicious. Allegedly invented in New Orleans. I don't know if that's true or not, but I went and got one when I was down there. But it's a British liqueur, the Pim's.
I'm pretty sure it's a
British
drink.
Probably starts over there.
Yeah,
right?
You put in the, like, it's Pim's number one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so it says, she continues, while the drinks are on the higher end of the price spectrum, which they are, you're getting a high-quality, handcrafted drink. I'd gladly go here over any other bar. And that's kind of the attitude that you have to take. You're going to pay for it at Bar X, but they are trying to do some creative things. They hate the word mixologist.
Oh, yeah.
But it kind of is sort of a mixology thing.
It's a little wonky,
yeah.
But I mean, like, you know, we pay in Utah for drinking anywhere, really. So paying a little extra for these kind of drinks... It's not completely out of line, in my opinion, but, you know, that's me. I like paying for whiskey.
If you don't want to pay for it, don't go to Bar X, I think is the message there. But but know that if you do go, there's some cocktails going on. Again, this is stuff we're trusting the Yelpers on this.
Yes.
So second one, let's talk about the Red Door. 57 West, 200 South, 4 out of 5 stars out of 54 reviews. I think primarily known for... kind of being a more martini kind of place.
But giant Che painting on the wall. Stuffed monkey in the corner.
The big Che, yeah. John F., who just moved from Salt Lake, we miss John, says, welcome to the Red Door, a.k.a. Sexyville, where the population is you.
Hey-o.
The Red Door is indeed Salt Lake's premier upscale lounge. It features tasty martinis, whiskeys, wines, bourbons, and any cocktail that you might think of.
It's true. And they look out for the customers. I've gone in there and ordered a mezcalini, which is a mezcal-based martini. And mezcal, for people who don't know, is sort of it's like a little brother to tequila, but it's got sort of a burning tire flavor. Definitely a very specific taste. And whenever I order it, and I've done it multiple times, they're always like, are you sure that's what you want to get? Because a lot of people don't know, but good people there.
It tastes like burning tire. You'll love it.
It's delicious.
Well, I did not know that. So there you have it.
Live and learn.
Red Door. The other one, there's another martini bar, Christoph's Martini Bar, 3.5 out of 5 at her 18 reviews. That's a 16 West Market. Shanna Y says their martinis range from the classic to very fun and even flirty. One of the things, though, it sort of depends on how you want to use Christoph's. I mean, some people use it as like a pre-game to dinner, like if you're headed out down in that area.
Right.
It gets a little rowdier later at night. I think they do...
get DJ spinning and stuff.
It's a little more
bumping. Meat marketing and stuff, right?
Yeah, that. So,
and is there one of those at the south end of the valley? Does that ring a bell? Either Park City or maybe... I think there's more than one. So I don't know if we're painting with a broad brush, but...
This is the one, 16 West Market. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about Zest, which is new. Zest Kitchen and Bar, 4 out of 5 after 20 reviews. Now, Zest also has some food, so I think of it, well, the guy who owns it, Casey, right, used to own W Lounge, and so he brings some of those sensibilities of the kind of a club thing with him. So it is a restaurant. You can order entrees. I think they're more known, you know, it's organic food. It's all, like, natural, local sourced where they can. A lot of vegan stuff on the menu. But they're doing a lot of things with the cocktails because of that sort of, it is Zest Kitchen and Bar, and very much, you know, bar is a very big part of it. So that's at 275 South, 200 West. Lisa P. says, drinks are superb and creative as well, especially the champagne concoctions, the jalapeno margarita, and the ginger spice.
Whoa.
They do a lot of things with fruit juices, right? So they have like a beet sangria, they have watermelon cosmos.
Whoa.
So if you were looking for something that's maybe a lighter drink, something a little more natural, something with those kind of like earthy sensibilities or organic sensibilities, they do a lot of stuff with this organic vodka. So very different. different. But you're not going to find anything else like it around.
And again, it's like kind of right in the heart of a lot of downtown cultural activities where you could do a pre-show drink or an after a game drink and some music, whatever. So good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And they're always doing some stuff down there. They do have a place for a DJ, a spot for a DJ in there.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah, so give it a try. 275 South, 200 West. That's Zest. Other ones that I just wanted to mention briefly, Finca, which is a small plates and tapas. It's Spanish.
Yeah, very Spanish.
The sister restaurant. Well, not sister. It's owned by the same folks who own Pago. Pago, I think, gets some love for some of the drinks over there. Finca has some really interesting drinks that I've heard a lot of people talking about.
I've had some delicious cocktails there with delicious meals as well.
Yeah, and it's one of those places where it is a restaurant, but it is a tapas restaurant, so you can go in and have nibble at a few things, sip on a few things if you're not really looking to go gorge yourself.
And they're actually one of the too few, in my opinion, restaurants that stay open kind of late for people who are out and about. They're in neighborhood bar in a way, or they're a restaurant technically, but they're on 13 South, 11th East, so there's not a lot of other stuff around there, but it's a great place if you're heading home into that neighborhood. Stop, have a drink, have a little bite, good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, the other place that just came up briefly, again, we're trusting the Yelpers on this one, is Palette, which is not too far from where we sit right now, over on, 4th West and about 250, 4th West and Pierpont. And they do some small plates and stuff, this is me just trusting the Yelpers, but I do remember I've eaten there, and they have, kind of a short cocktail menu and some really interesting kind of things. Again, they're sort of trying to...
killer space.
Great space. Do some things that you won't see in other places in Salt Lake City. So, that craft cocktail mixology thing, I think...
it's blossoming.
Yeah. It sort of hits the West Coast pretty hard, and we've seen some of the things come through that you might see up there. I think Bar X is kind of a prime example of one of the...
absolutely.
...the things that you might see on
and
the West
tricky.
Coast.
I mean, this is a state that doesn't make it easy for you to make a lot of these drinks, but these guys are finding ways to put things together the right way, and they are delicious, and, you might have to pay a little more, but you're getting something you never got here before, so it's kind of a treat.
Yeah.
With summertime, it's perfect. Sit outside and have a funky cocktail.
That's it. They ought to name something the funky cocktail. There may be a funky cocktail.
Right.
There's a name for any kind of drink out there.
Like the funky Charlie sushi roll, something like that. You got to have one of those around.
Yeah, for sure.
Excellent. Well, where can we find these and more great info from Yelpers in Salt Lake?
Yeah, just head to yelp.com and search, if there's a specific cocktail you're after and somebody has reviewed somewhere that has it, you might find it that way. Look for, under the bar heading in Yelp or just search for drinks. Or you can download the free app on any kind of mobile platform that you have and check it out. And if there's something there that you love that somebody hasn't yelped about, for crying out loud, get on and tell everybody about it.
Tell your fellow community members and specialty cocktail lovers all about it.
Absolutely.
And they can find you at Yelp Utah on Twitter as well. And of course, you're on Facebook out there, Yelp Salt Lake City. So.
Yelp SLC. Facebook.com, Yelp SLC.
Excellent. Jeffrey, thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, appreciate you having me.
You bet. This is your weekly daily calendar for May 7th through May 13th. You'll all want to remember Mother's Day is in there, so mark your calendars, people. That's the 12th. But before that, there's lots of great activities going on. And as always, you'll want to go to slugmag.com. Check the events every day. There's new stuff going in there all the time. On Tuesday, May 7th, one of my favorite stand-up comedians, Aziz Ansari, is coming to town and performing at Abravanel Hall. If you don't know who he is, he plays Tom Haverford on Parks and Rec, a great sitcom if there is such a thing in this day and age. He's really funny live. I saw him last year at Sundance Film Festival. Always a good time. Wednesday, the 5th, Vietnam and Max Payne and the Groovies are playing at the Garage. That's a dirt cheap show, a mere $5 for some quality garage rock over at the Garage. Same night, The Body and Ninth Zealot are playing at the Salt House, bringing some heavy rock to the mix. Thursday, the 9th of May, Big Boy and Killer Mike at the Depot. Many of you may have heard Big Boy, that's half of Outkast for people who don't know. He performed at the Twilight Concert Series down at Pioneer Park last summer. I saw him later on that summer over in San Francisco rocking a gigantic crowd. Should be a real treat seeing him at the Depot if you love the Outkast or Big Boy's solo stuff, and I highly recommend both his solo albums. Friday, May 10th, the Thermals and Baby Ghosts at Kilby Court. Thermals, one of my favorite indie rock bands out of the Northwest. They're playing at Kilby. And that night over in Sugar House, it's the Sugar House Art Walk, a fine chance to explore the galleries up and down Sugar House Way. Saturday, the 11th of May, the Black Angels at the Depot. That should be an awesome psych rock show. Big show for them. They've played at the Urban Lounge in the past. It should be interesting to see what they do with a bigger room. They got a brand new album that is high quality stuff out there. Same night, Slug Localized with Hot Club of Zion, The Ambassadors, and Exponential Rabbit at Urban Lounge. Always a great chance to catch up with some local music. Hot Club of Zion does that sort of Django Reinhardt style of old gypsy jazz. Should be a great time. Sunday, May 12th, that is Mother's Day once again. Built to Spill at Urban Lounge. I just saw these guys over the winter up in Washington State. Boise's Finest, a great band. Doug March has a new rhythm section in the band. They sound great. He's been delving into some old stuff on these tours, and he's been doing a lot of fun covers. I heard him cover a little bit of Morrissey as well as Foghat last time I saw him, of all bands. And then on Monday, May 13th, The Shins and Rah Rah Riot playing up at Park City Live. Last summer, The Shins played at Red Butte. This will be fun to see him indoors. Rah Rah Riot, quality new album of their own out there as well. As always, slugmag.com for all of your listings. You'll want to check that every day for updates. And if you want to put your own updates and your own events in there, that is free. For a mere $5 a month or $50 a year, you can add some quality content to your listings all day long. Oh, baby. You wouldn't think a band based in Brooklyn would be called Vietnam, but hey, that's the way it goes. They're a great psych rock band, really rootsy garage rock. Love them. They first formed in 2004, released two albums over the intervening 8 years, an ever-changing lineup as part of the mix, but they always put out rock-solid records. Their latest album is called American Dream. It came out just a little bit earlier this year, in February of 2013, on the indie label Mexican Summer. They are playing over at the Garage with Max Payne and the Groovies. This is a song called Kitchen Congas off of their album American Dream. Once again, that's Vietnam playing at the Garage on May 8th with Max Payne and the Groovies. Tickets are a mere $5 and the show kicks off at 9 p.m. For more information on the band, visit them online at VietnamTheBand.com. Loki Cyclings is a Salt Lake City-based custom bike company that's formed in June 2012 by making aluminum, low-maintenance, fixed-gear bikes, all constructed by the Loki crew right here in town. In less than a year, the company has grown to form a bicycle team. They've moved into a new warehouse to do their construction jobs and establish their business within the local cycling community. Slug senior writer Cody Hudson sat down with the company founder, Christian Clemens, to talk about their bikes and the Loki company story.
All right, so why don't we start by you telling me your name and the name of your company.
Yeah, my name's Christian Clemens. I have a company called Loki Cycle and Gear, local custom bike building company.
So is it just you?
It's just me that started it. I have a couple people that help me that are pretty great. My friend Tobias, he's a great mechanic and been a lot of fun to work with. But we're a small operation right now, yeah.
So how did you get started?
You know, I used to work for Jimmy John's as a bicycle messenger when I was going to school. And so I like, you know, riding fixed gear bikes. I just wanted to start my own brand. I wanted to have my own shop instead of riding other people's bikes.
How long have you been doing it for?
This is going into our second season. We started in June of last year, of 2012. So this is going to be our first full summer, and pretty excited about it.
So why only single speeds and fixed gears?
Well, that's the style of bike that I like the best. I think that it works really well for the city, for urban commuters. They're low maintenance, really easy to work on for people. I like the look. It's my style, so I guess that's why I picked it.
So you said it's you and one other mechanic. What are your respective roles in production?
Being a small company, I think we both do pretty much everything, you know. So building everything, of course, I'm in charge of inventory or managerial kind of things. And we both, you know, build the bikes, but there's not a whole lot more to it than that, you know. Just two guys building bikes, so.
Cool. So why don't we start from like the beginning of the production? Where do you guys get your frames?
Well, I have a manufacturer in Asia that builds my frames. Same place that all bikes come from.
Yeah. Basically. Taiwan. Yeah. What material are they made of?
I went with aluminum. A lot of people like a steel frame fixed gear. That's the classic. I think that aluminum is an improvement on that. It's a good bit lighter. I think people appreciate that. And it really doesn't sacrifice any durability, losing a couple pounds. So
I've noticed that you have a few different bikes, obviously, up on the site. Is the color scheme the only difference between the bikes?
And frame sizes. We basically sell one product right now in multiple different sizes and colors.
What components, wheels, hubs do you use?
We've got the hubs are Quando, cranks are by a company called Lasco, all aluminum, pretty light, keeping with the light and durable theme that we're trying to go with, you know, bikes that just work well and easy for people.
So if I was like going to be a Graham Nazi or a weight weenie, how much do the bikes weigh?
Depending on frame size, about 22 pounds plus or minus.
Not bad. And you say you mainly see them being used for commuting, or?
Yeah, that's where I see the bike best utilized. You know, there's different bikes for different purposes. You know, I've got a mountain bike as well. You know, it's the high end road bikes that you'd want for a long touring ride. You know, riding 50 miles up and down some hills. My bike works great for around town. You know, you want to park it outside of the restaurant or the bar, or you know, just ride over to your job. I think that's where my bike fits in.
I didn't ask this before, and I probably should have. Do you powder coat and paint the frames yourself, or do you order them in those colors from?
I have my factory do that, but I also do special custom jobs for people. Mm-hmm. Like I just did a job for a Marine that he needed it to be USMC olive drab to remind him of his Marine vehicles, I guess. But it turned out really cool.
Really?
So yeah, I like to do special things for people if they want.
Nice. Did you do like special hubs for him too? Special.
The color scheme was the only thing that he wanted specially done.
Yeah.
We did different handlebar setup for him as well, too.
So how many people in Salt Lake are already riding your bikes?
Well, we've sold about 80 plus, but so mostly between Provo to Ogden. Mm-hmm. A few of them are were out of state, but mostly, yeah, about around 80 people from Provo to Ogden. So I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah. Yeah, do they order them online, or are they available in like some of the local bike shops?
You can order them online. We've got a website, and we've actually got a new website coming out that's going to be really great with all of our inventory that you can click through and kind of build your own bike on the site. Or you can just come by the shop where we do the assembly and, you know, ride one and pick it out and hang out and, you know, talk to me about them or whatever you want to do.
Nice. Where are you guys located?
We've just got a garage space. We don't have a retail front yet, but it's at 637 North DeSoto, which is up on Capitol Hill. It's a real good space for us. It's big, but it's mostly an online storefront right now.
Are you trying to work towards more of a physical storefront?
We're not trying to be a bike shop. We're trying to be a bike brand. Probably going to maintain the online storefront and just move into a larger warehouse space.
So when I was looking at your site, I noticed you have like a bike team. And I saw Stu's on. I know Stu from the Collective.
Oh yeah, Stu here. Yeah.
So what do you guys do? What does the bike team do?
Cool group of guys that, unfortunately, not all of them live in Salt Lake anymore. Some Micah moved this past winter and just made videos, and some of those guys helped out with assembly for a while, and they're local bike messengers and stuff. So I, yeah, mostly made videos. it was fun. Made some cool ones.
Do you, as a brand, participate in like local Alley Cats or any other of the local cycling events?
We did one last year that was pretty cool called the Culinary Cat, where we had teams get together and then they had to race around to different food markets. Not like Smith's or anything, but like, you know, the local, like Tony Caputo's or something, you know. There was 8 or 9 stops on that, and then at the end of it, there was a cooking portion to the race that was, and it was weighted maybe too heavily towards the cooking too, but so the winner had to be able to cook the food they bought too. So
did they have to make like a specific dish?
No, it was up to them, whatever.
Do you remember what the winning dish was?
Oh geez, I don't. We've got pictures up of it though.
I kind of like
it was fun.
I kind of like the idea of that because I feel like the same people win all of the Alley Cats, and I think that would level the playing field, which
right?
is good. Gay wouldn't win everything, like.
Yeah.
Well, cool. So where do you see yourself going in the future? You said a bigger warehouse, maybe?
Yeah. This summer, I want to expand into more of like a parts supplier, too. I get a lot of requests for, you know, people that don't need a full bike, but, you know, I damaged something, I need a new wheel set, or I need new cranks, new handlebars, things like that. So I think it's a natural progression to kind of expand into, you know, a line of parts as well as a line of bikes.
Definitely. You said you don't want to be necessarily like a local bike shop. Have you considered like working with local bike shops, getting your bikes into stores, anything like that?
I have, yeah. I just talked to the guys over at the Bike Transit Center, and we're putting a couple bikes in there. We actually put a couple bikes in a store that's friends of family up in Idaho. Yeah, we're going to try and move that way. I think that's a good idea.
So May is our like bike issue, and it's bike month for us. Are you going to be participating in any future Alley Cats or any events that are coming up?
They've got one that I'm sponsoring at the hotel. Mm-hmm. They've got a stop for a bike pub crawl. You know, I've been trying to brainstorm on some cool ideas. So we've got some stuff coming to, I don't have all the details, everything planned out yet. But yeah, I love to do the races. We'd like to do a lot more.
For sure. How do you guys get like your name out there?
That's a good question. It's difficult. I'm not, you know, a marketing genius or anything. That's not really my background. So KSL's been good to me. A lot of people like to shop there. And then maybe just word of mouth. I think that's probably been the most successful.
Do you just post ads like in the bike classifieds for like Complete Bikes or something? Or?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one works pretty well. We did some just like flyers up on campuses and some other things last year that we're going to do again. That worked pretty well. But yeah, it's growing. It's slowly but surely.
You guys seem like you're priced pretty competitively with like much worse bikes on KSL, I feel like, you know, like a lot of the bikes that are on KSL are pretty terrible.
Thanks. Yeah, making it real affordable was a big part of the plan. It was, you know, wanted it to be durable, affordable, and cool.
Do you think that the one product line is something that's going to continue into the future? Do you think that you will offer other product lines in the future?
Well, I really want to offer more bikes for women. I feel like they're underrepresented in the bike community. You know, I hate seeing a guy riding ahead of his girlfriend on a really cool bike, and then she's got, you know, some some old hand-me-down kind of crappy. So I'd like to expand more into women's sizes and their needs.
For more information on Loki, as well as the team and their product line, visit them online at LokiCycleAndGear.com. As always, thank you very much for listening to the Sound Waves from the Underground, the only podcast that matters for you people out there. For all things Slug Magazine, visit slugmag.com. The Utah Jazz's season is over, and it happened rather abruptly, but that's not going to keep our own Mike Brown from coming into the studio and waxing poetic about the season that was and what they need to improve next year. We also want to hear your thoughts about what they can do to be a better team in 2013 and 14 season. Call and leave us a message at 858-233-9324 or send us an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com and let us know your thoughts on the prospects for the Utah Jazz. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and produced by Gavin Sheehan. The associate producers are Esther Moronio, Ricky Vigil, Alexander Ortega, and myself, Dan Nalen. The executive producer is Angela H. Brown. The theme music was performed by Birthquake and recorded by Jesse Ellis. Main logo and art design is by T. Doan, and the technical design is by Kate Colgan. Be sure to tune in next week when we'll talk about all things pet-oriented with the folks from the Best Friends Animal Sanctuary, the Utah Humane Society, as well as Black Puss. Thank you for listening.